Our first scripture reading comes from Psalm 8. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals, that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under your feet, under their feet. All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our next scripture reading comes from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Whenever he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved. They will come in and go out to find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Therein the reading of the word God breathed.
So last week, before worship, the confirmands and their mentors were sent on a scavenger hunt. And one of their stops along the way was me. And when they found me, they had to ask me a fun fact about myself, that I had to give one. So my fun fact was that in high school, I won a scholarship at the state bowling tournament, in large part because I bowled the best game of my entire life, a 277. Oh, thanks. I'm glad you're impressed. Yeah, I don't bowl anymore, though. So, and even though I do think it's fun, I don't think about it that often anymore. But sharing this fun fact multiple times with everybody last week made me think about when I wanted to learn how to bowl, and I guess in my mind at that time it was bowl for real. See, my parents had been bowling well before I was born, and they were in couples leagues throughout, and that's just what you did on a Friday night in Wisconsin. You had your fish and then you went bowling. So I was around it all the time had bowled quite a bit as a kid, but it wasn't until I was a bit older, maybe in junior high or something like that, that I wanted to take bowling a bit more seriously. So I asked my parents how to throw the ball with a curve. So they took me to the bowling alley many times. They coached me along, and it was hard. The ball just kept sliding off the lane right into the gutter, and I got frustrated. I wanted to quit, but you know, we kept going back and trying again. Now, knowing what I know now, and I'm gonna get a little technical about bowling here, I was trying to do this without the right equipment. Most balls you find in the alley are made to go straight. The cores are balanced so that they go straight. You can buy custom-made balls that have unbalanced cores in them, and they're inserted in the ball in certain ways so that you can spin them a little bit easier and they will go where you want them to go, ideally. The cores are also oriented differently based on if you're right-handed and left-handed, and I'm a lefty, and of course, I was living in a right-handed world. Things were stacked against me, in other words. So it's no wonder why I was getting frustrated, no wonder I couldn't do this very easily. So I was about ready to try something else. My parents were supportive, of course. They encouraged me along the way, and they said little things along the way, stuff like, hey, you know, you'll figure it out. You got this. Just give it time. So I kept trying. I gave it time. And eventually, I proved them right. And then even more so as I got my own ball, which is tailor-made to me and how I threw and bowled a 277 and all that stuff. So yes, it worked out in the end. Sometimes those reassurances, though, along the way are all we need to just kind of keep pressing on to get to where we want to go, to do the things we want to achieve our goals. And that could be true in bowling. That can be true for other skills. I'm sure we have moments in life, you know, when someone is just kind of giving a little support along the way that just helped us in what could have been a discouraging time. And it's true for the church and our lives in faith, too, that sometimes we just need some reassurance along the way. Today, we read from the Gospel of John, and this perhaps has become a familiar passage to us because not only do we read it when it comes up normally in the lectionary, but this is a focal text for Moravians, and so we read this almost every year, or we at least have the option to read it every year, right around the Sunday closest to November 13th, which is Chief Elder Sunday, that being today. Today, we celebrate that 280 years ago, it was publicly announced around the Moravian Church around the world that after consulting the lot multiple times, Jesus would take the leading role as head of the church and chief elder. While using the lot then, Moravians would gather and would pray and read scripture and sing hymns, so they weren't just picking things out at random. They were doing it prayerfully so, hoping to hear a little bit more from the Spirit of Christ. So in that particular moment, during that chief elder conversation, they felt drawn to singing hymns and reading scripture that contained the imagery of Jesus as a shepherd. And that's exactly why we read John 10 today, that was one of the scripture passages that they read in that very moment back in 1741. So as we focus today on Jesus as a shepherd leader, we often focus on the promises of how he will lead us. That Jesus will lead fearlessly, going out ahead of the flock, ahead of us, the sheep, scouting for danger and finding the best way forward to lead us and guide us to do good in the world. Jesus calls his sheep by name. He knows each one of us dearly. He finds good pasture, takes care of us in ways that we might not even recognize or know. He stays by the gate to protect us and heals us when we're hurt and ultimately gives us life in abundance. That's the last word that we have in the scripture passage. These are all excellent promises. They've given a whole lot of hope to a whole lot of people over the years. To know that Jesus as a shepherd is caring for us and guiding us means a lot. But as if this wasn't already good enough, let's not stop just there. There's more for us here in this passage that I think we need to hear. So yes, Jesus says confidently, yes, this is the way I'm going to lead. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. And a little while later, very truly, I tell you, I am the good shepherd. But you know what he also says just as confidently and in multiple different ways? He says, the gatekeeper goes ahead of them and the sheep will follow because they know his voice. Jesus seems absolutely sure that his followers will indeed follow him, all because they know him and trust him and have a relationship in him. So intertwined with all of his promises about how he will lead is not just a statement, but another promise. He's so sure that this is a promise about how his followers will respond because of their deep relationship with him. So imagine hearing this promise as one of the 12 disciples. In all four Gospels, the disciples definitely have their moments of confusion and doubt and frustration. They're being prepared to take on a whole lot of responsibility after Jesus leaves. And with so many challenges ahead of them, with so many things that they have yet to learn, imagine hearing in this moment Jesus saying to them, "You will follow me because you know my voice." And in these words, in that same reassurance as I talked about before, I can almost hear Jesus saying, "Yeah, you'll figure it out. You got this. Just give it some time." Imagine receiving this gospel to read for the first time in the first century church. Christianity is still new and still illegal in the Roman Empire. You could be treated badly or even persecuted for your faith. Perhaps you left home to join this church. You're feeling a little uprooted and not quite knowing what's going on because things are messy. People are trying to figure out what this church thing is supposed to look like. And then for the first time, you read this gospel and you hear Jesus say, "You will follow me because you know my voice. You'll figure it out. You got this. Just give it time." And now we read this passage today on November 14th, 2021, and this reassurance is now for us. Toward the end of a weird year when things have been kind of back to normal, but also not, when more people than ever have been quitting jobs, which is a sign that all of our lives are seeing big changes and we're making big transitions in many aspects of our lives, not just professionally. During a year when we face all kinds of challenges of a political nature or generational or racial or environmental or relational or logistical and operational, so many challenges in our society and at school and at work and at home, none of which have any easy answers or quick fixes. And when things here at church still feel a little up in the air because we're worship and our calendar and some of the ministries we have gotten used to over the years haven't all fully returned to normal yet. We haven't seen everybody, all the faces that we're used to yet come back. We have recognized that attendance and giving have changed this year. None of which have easy answers and quick fixes either. In a time when all that is happening, and on a day when we pledge with the sacrament of communion to continue following our chief elder, even during a time of challenges and the future isn't quite clear, this is when we hear Jesus promise to us that you will follow me because you know my voice. You'll figure it out. You got this. Just give it time. So thanks be to Christ for the ongoing promise to be a wise chief elder of this church, a protecting shepherd over us and a provider of life in abundance for us. But today, let us especially focus on the other promise that comes with all that. The one that holds so much love and hope and faith for all of us that Jesus has in saying, "Yes, you are my sheep." And no matter what might be going on now or how challenging things might be, even if you don't know what to plan for, you will follow me. You will get back on track. You will do good. You will be the church because, whether you realize it or not, you know my voice. You'll figure this out. You got this. Just give it time. May we hear this timely reassurance from our Savior loud and clear today. And as we live, may all of this be so. Amen.